This is the Alpaca Podcast for all things alpaca. If you're an owner, a soon-to-be owner, a want-to-be owner, or are just alpaca mad or love the fleece, welcome to the Alpaca Tribe. I'm Steve Hetherington. Hi, Steve here, and welcome to the podcast for alpaca people. Ooh, it's an outdoor day, sat on a bench. The girls are out of sight at the moment. I think they'll probably be following me up at some point. They'll be out. They've had their breakfast, and now they're having a wander, standing near all the water that's in the lake. We've had a lot more rain. It's kind of full and overflowing. Not quite so much to empty out the troughs this morning, but still some rain in there. They'd been in overnight. They obviously were staying out of the rain. There was so much stuff to clear out when I was mucking out. Actually, Sue helped me. She did a lot of sweeping up into the piles, and I shoveled it into the barrow and took the wheelbarrow down the road and put it in the dump pile down the end. So I was going, oh, it's wet though. Good job. I've got some wellies on and some waterproof trousers. I've got my waterproof trousers on, and they've started. I think it's the season now has arrived. It's not taking them off, leaving them on. It's permanently on. So I leave them fireman style, connected to my Wellingtons. You can just pull feet into the boots and pull the trousers up and you're ready to go. We're definitely into fall. It's absolutely stunning. The colours, the smells, there's little peppery smells you get as you're walking around. And the girls seem to be not too bad. They're not into their grey phase. Sometimes they get wet and muddy and dirty and they all change into the same colour. But they're not doing too bad at the moment. A little bit damp, a little bit dirty, but not too bad. So they enjoyed their breakfast this morning. There was an interloper. I was doing some sorting the buckets out, getting them ready. I could hear the sound, the rustling sound of the plastic bag that's got the alpha ray, the chopped alfalfa in it. And I knew it was going to be Lily who was in there because she's a tyke. So she was in there, chased her out. I then thought, I'll start with that. We'll put that out first. How'd that be? So I put it out into the troughs. I turned my back and came back from having spread it around so everybody got a chance to have some. And where do you think she was? She was back inside. Do you know, stealing it from the bag is so much fun. She really enjoys that. It tastes much, much better if you steal it from the bag. She's a character. I'm hoping it's all right. I don't think it's causing a problem, but she's got a funny tail compared to the others. I left it long. I didn't shear her tail at all. So she's got a bit of a mare's tail thing going on, which is a lot of fleece and a lot. It's got quite long now. The theory is that it gives a bit of a swish so she can keep the flies away, because she's the one that hates the flies. Lily really does not like flies. But we saw so many of those tiny little white biting flies, and I can feel them biting into my scalp and around my ears and all kinds of, oh goodness, they're a real pain, and they must be really nasty for the alpacas on the bare skin. They can't get through the fleece so easily, but on the bare skin, and you hear them stamping their feet and stuff where they're getting nibbled. These are tiny, tiny little flies. You know, how big is the biting mouth part? This fly is designed, that's essentially what it's designed for, is to bite you, take a bit of your blood to make the next generation's eggs. So we need some frosts. I think that'll finish those off, probably, maybe. It's been remarkably mild. We've been having nighttime temperatures, which are what you'd expect in the day at this time of year here in the UK. So it's been in double figures, sort of, you know, not high, but it's been sort of 12s, 15 sometimes. That's quite warm for the night, for this time of year. That doesn't help with the flies and things, so that's to come. We'll get some frost and that'll sort those out, probably. The other parts during the day, it's been not too bad. It's very still again today. Haven't got much wind. Sorry, just suddenly having a pause because I heard a bird and I heard the water and heard, in the background, is an aeroplane passing over. Oh, you don't listen to that bit. Yeah, sorry about that. But yeah, it's good. The colours are amazing, those leaves that are still on the trees. We've had quite a lot. We had windy last week. So a lot of the leaves that were ready to come down, they've come off. we had them stay on for quite a long time, but they now come off and we got a sort of a good old smattering of colour across the far side of the valley as I'm sitting here. We got the bracken is very brown, green in some places. What's that green then? I'm not convinced that is still bracken. It could be. Not quite sure, actually. Don't know. Some of it's going to be brambles, but a lot of it, the bracken is now very brown, and there's some areas where it's very flat, because it's brown, it's dead, it's kind of still stuck in the ground, but it's dead and red crispy, so when the alpacas are going backwards and forwards, then it breaks it off. So there's some flattened areas where you start to see the grass underneath. But it coincides with the grass not having quite so much goodness in it, because it's not getting as much sun. It's the wrong time of year. But it's still there. They're still eating the stuff that they need, because they all through the year, the alpacas do need to have enough fibre. So that's good that they're still able to have some access. But we therefore ramp up the food just slightly, just a little bit. You can always tell when they're quite hungry, when they're enjoying the food, but they do come looking a little bit more, and they do kind of eat it a bit faster. The start of the feeding is, oh, good, it's here, and off they go. See the boys progressing across the hillside, cut the far side here. And who's that at the back? I'm not quite sure. Judging by the walk, difficult. I was just going to say it was Freddie, who's almost blind now. But it could easily be. But they've gone across. And there's on the path, where the path is, why is it there? I don't know. But that's where the gorse has grown. It grows on the path at the top as well. It's interesting, isn't it? Anyway, so the line of the paths seem to be marked with gorse bushes. Some of them at tree height, so it's almost like gorse trees. And they're all in coming into bloom again. It's interesting that there was an old saying about it always being in bloom somewhere. And I think that's probably true, mostly. But they certainly do have a lot of flowering periods, different times of the year, and the gorse is just blooming again, so that's nice. Adds to the little yellow colours that are around. So things are just starting to die back. You start to see some of the contours of the hillside again, and you can see the desire line, the paths where the alpacas go and wander, not aimlessly, you see. They've got very different... There's some bits where they're grazing, and there's a food-related wandering that's spreading out to eat the food that's there. But there are definite paths that they follow. That's their desire line. And some of it's very established paths, and they're the ones I use with the tractor or the quad or whatever. But the others, it's just the angle and everything else is right for them to follow that. It's like water flowing, finding its own level. Alpacas find their own level that they like to walk, and they do it all the time. So you've got a definite path that develops. So the boys have just arrived in the field at the end. A bit of posturing going on. These boys are such boys. Oh dear, it's like the playground sometimes. Little posturings and little things. Making a point. Unnecessarily, but making a point. So they're wandering down. The field at the end, far end of the valley, has quite a bit of grass, so that's a good place for them to be. They enjoy that a lot. So that's the morning routine. They'll walk across. Sometimes they go up first and then come down the diagonal. You know, hey, we got the choice. We can decide which way we want to go. And alpacas do. They will do something. And sometimes it's just kind of, oh, it's Wednesday. Let me do it this way. I'm going to go this other direction. And they do. So there's the habits, but the variation. They do like the option of being able to do something slightly different, or to have something slightly different that's a bit of an interest. So sometimes I'll put a bag of hay and put it in a different place, and they'll gather around in that. They'll have the hay. They just think, oh, this is so exciting. There's hay in a different place. So they gather around, and they always think it's for them, of course. Giving them a bit of stimulation now and again is a good thing if you can. Not always possible, but they do enjoy the variety, and they do enjoy that little bit of difference now and again. Where we are in a valley, you get those bowls, you can put treats in them, things for dogs. For pigs, you get a scaled up size, a bigger bowl. Put some of the feed in there, the kibble or whatever. But you can do that for pigs, you can do it for horses. They quite like playing with things. But we're in a valley and everything's on a slope, and it wouldn't work for us. It would always end up at the bottom of the valley in the lake. It would be in the water and then wash down, and I'd have to retrieve it at the far end before it disappeared down into the tunnel. And followed the old route of how the water used to leave the reservoir that used to be here, Victorian Reservoir. And you wonder why the valley is so wet. It's a good place for a reservoir. Raven's calling. Different ends of the valley. So the fleece is being worked on at the moment. Sue's been doing a lot of work with the fleece, doing a lot of sorting and taking out the second cuts. What are they doing in there? I try not to put them in there. Try not to do a second cut. And some of them looked like second cuts, but they were just short first cuts. They were just too short. You couldn't really do too much with them. Oh, it was dirty. It was one of the boys' old fleeces, and it was so dirty. But it did clean up this morning when we saw it drying on the rack. It was really bright white, it's lovely. And then it's going to be carded, and then Sue will be doing some felting with it later on. So we need to catch up with Sue about fleece and what she's been up to. That'd be good. So Lily was a thief this morning. She came in and pinched the food. Amelia came looking for her bit, but I'd already had Ellie and Megan coming in looking for their food. They understand completely. They miss nothing. And on the edge, not prepared to get too close, is Angharad. So she kind of lurks at the edges, and she's watching what's going on. And she's quite tall now. She's quite grown up. Well, she is. She's not quite got the seniority in order to push in. Whereas Megan, she just puts her head down and pushes forward, it goes straight in and moves the other heads out of the way. And so I was trying to feed Alice, but she was okay. That was in the evening feed. She had a little bit and then sat down. Oh dear. So I went back to check on her a bit later and put some extra food out and stuff. But she was at the door. She was ready. Thank you very much. She was very hungry. So I got a little bit of a scoop, and she was having that. But I had to fend off Megan and Ellie. I'm sorry, there's troughs over there with food in. Go have that. No, this is better. We like this. We know she's getting a treat. We want a treat as well. They are funny. So that's one of the things that when you tend to see a lot of the activity is around the feeding, because you're there, you're doing the feeding, you can stand around and watch them. And I do talk now and again about going and spending some time with them and just sitting with them in the field or spending time around them, just watching, because there's another dimension then. You see a different kind of set of behaviours. You've got the grazing and who's got priority on the paths and that kind of stuff. But also then they'll sit down and chew the cud, and how they do that and who they sit with and that kind of stuff. It's just fascinating. Lots of it, just you absorb it over time. You've got to be a sponge. Alpaca owners are sponges. Did you know that? Yes. They absorb all this knowledge, all this information, file it away for future reference. Some of it you need to write down or you're not going to remember, certainly. It's anything like mine. There was something, wasn't there, about that alpaca, and I can't remember what was it now. What was it? Was it she? Which leg was it that she was limping on? Was it the left one? It was the back one. Was it the left one or the right one? Can't remember. So you need to make a little note of those things. That's just helpful. It gives you a reference point. And one of the biggest things we're doing is noticing differences compared to the previous feed or the previous day or the previous week or the previous month. There's that kind of change over time. Fleece is starting to grow again here in the UK because we were sheared back in May, June. So it's getting a little bit longer. It starts to hide the body shape, starts to hide what's going on. So you just need now and again to get a hand on, check the body score. Particularly through the winter, as they get more challenged with the colder and wetter weather, it's going to be more difficult for them to maintain. They're going to start burning up some of the body fat and things when they need it. So just making sure that everyone's getting their share of the food and checking the body score now and again just to check nobody's got something going on. It could be a mouth issue, they're not able to eat as much, or it could be they're just a bit off, or it just could be they're a bit old. And some of the skinniness, some of the boniness, some of the being under condition is because they're getting older. It's just one of those things. We all get a bit bony, don't we? So check on those things, and where you can, just give a bit of preference. It's difficult, I found, in a larger group. It's probably difficult in a small group as well. In between, I'm not sure it's even any better then. But trying to favour one animal over another, if you've got enough and you can bring them in, they're a bit suspicious. Oh, let me bring you into the stable. Separate me off from the others. Some of them will just get stressed. This isn't really helping, is it? But if there are some that you can bring in and have as a separate little group, whether it's in a catch pen or in a stable or a corner of the barn or whatever, then you can feed them slightly differently and give them a bit of extra just to keep them in good condition through the winter. At some point, the rations need to go up. As I said, with the boys, they tend to tell you. They're quick to the food and they'll clear it quickly. So we just need to keep an eye on that. We don't want to overfeed them. We just need to be aware as the weather changes and it becomes colder, what's going on, and can we give them a little bit extra as needed. We're not trying to make them fat. We are trying to make sure that we maintain the good condition that they're starting this part of the year in. Plenty to be looking at, plenty to be watching. Make notes where you can. Mental notes are fine, but written notes if you need them. Then follow up on those things. Check out. You know, Alice was off her food last night at feeding time. She had a bit later. She was fine this morning. She was very happy in there. She's aware that I've been favouring her, so she's prepared to stand. Sometimes there's a trade-off. You can do these trades. I will have a little check of you. I will do a little bit of handling here. And you'll get access to the food. So they understand the trade and they'll put up with it a bit. Over on the far side, I talk about the boys coming down to the field. They're in the field now and there's a line of them down the fence line. So obviously for some reason that's the place to be. That's where they go when it's windy, wind from the north. No wind today. So it's not that. So it's just the grass and that kind of edge, I guess. They enjoy most of that. There's a few little green, thicker green patches I can see on the field, which is where the poo piles are. There's a few bare patches where it's their rolling spot. They've got a little dust bath, which they use that and they use that and they keep going back there. Some of it's got a bit more clay in it, those rolling spots, and therefore it's when they're a bit damp and stuff and they still have a roll, they can end up with their makeup on. So they change colour because they've got this kind of powdery clay stuff on the top of the top surface of the fleece. It usually washes off, it changes back again, but so they're just having a gentle time over in the field. And if I counted them, I'd know how many there were, whether they're all there. Let me have a look. Counting in threes, there's 3, 6, 9, yeah, they're all there. So the one that's the lower end of the field, further down, a little bit separate from the others, that's Howell, because that's what he does. Just in case the girls come down this end, he's ready to protect his girls from the rest of those rabble, those boys. That's his normal thing, is just to be the lower point on the field there. But they're getting on fine most of the time, particularly where there's enough food around. That's always a good thing, to make sure you spread the food, got enough feeding points, so a number of buckets or troughs and things. They will feed from the same one. Some more than others, but you just need to be aware of that and give them enough space. So 3 foot, so a metre of head space per animal. Sounds quite a lot, doesn't it? But if you do that and spread it out, they'll mix around and move around, but it just means that everyone gets a chance to get to the food and keeps the rations being spread around to everybody. There you go. So if you can, go spend some time with your alpacas. Sit out on a bench. That was a delight. Didn't have my cup of tea with me, but I was sitting on the bench down the end of the valley. That's nice. Spend some time with the alpacas, see what's going on, and breathe. Take care. See you again soon.
This is the Alpaca Tribe, and I'm Steve Hetherington. Have a great day.